Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Hey everybody, welcome to Wednesday night service. I'm Josh, of course. We got Shane, Tom, and Allie with us this evening, and you guys recognize Shane speaks, obviously, but he also is one of our worship leaders. Tom is the youth pastor, but he started off leading worship. And Allie is a worship leader and an amazing musician as well. And so we're going to talk about just leading worship and what it means to them. I'm going to ask them some questions tonight. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about how some people that I've spoken to, and myself as well, like how much this COVID pandemic has caused us to rethink how we do church. And it's caused us to rethink how we worship and how we connect with God and how we connect with each other. And I just wanted to talk to these guys tonight about worship and possibly talk about how we can connect with God outside of the traditional setting. Of course, we want to get back into church. We want to get back into that traditional church setting as soon as possible. But this might be a wake-up call, and this might be an opportunity for us to learn how to get a hold of God outside of the church, because really worship's not a once a week or twice a week thing, right? I mean, worship is a... should be a daily habit. It should be a daily practice. Mm-hmm. And so let me just ask you guys real quick, what does worship mean to you guys?
I'll let you go first, Tom.
Gosh, worship. I've always been into music, and I feel like worship has always been, I appreciate the poetic side of people like singing and like, you know, like the lyrics that they'll come up with. But for me, it's like Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies as a holy, you know, we all know that verse about basically just the way that you live should be the way that you worship God. It's your spiritual act of worship. And so for me, music was always my thing. And so for me, I remember coming to the church, and I remember telling Shane, because he was over the college group at the time, I was like, I want to get involved. He said, what can you do? And I said, like, I can sing. And so just from there, it was literally like coming before God and just bringing my guitar and my voice and just saying, like, this is what I have to give, and use this in whatever facet, you know, you want to.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because I can remember Josh was in San Luis, and we were taking, even Vince, we were taking a, Vince is running the camera, we were taking a van Sunday, was it Monday nights? We were driving the worship team up there, because you were speaking live Mondays. We showed Sundays on the movie theater screen in San Luis, but you started speaking Mondays live, and I remember we took a van up there, we were leading worship, and one weekend, Josh was like, I got this guy named Tom. I don't know about him all that much, but I want to introduce you to him. And this long-haired hippie guy comes walking in on Mondays, and sure enough, it was you.
It was.
And then we became best friends, or so I thought.
Roommates.
We won't go into that right now,
roommates.
But roommates.
Yeah.
And then the rest is history.
It is.
But you always had a heart for playing worship, always playing guitar all hours of the day and night. So I can vouch for you.
Yeah, it was my thing. And so like I ultimately, you know, worship can be anything, you know, for whoever, whatever you're into. But for me, it was that thing. So music was my act.
And I have this quote from a book that I've been reading, and it says, we live in what one writer has called the age of sensation. We think that if we don't feel something, there could be no authenticity in doing it. But the wisdom of God says something different, that we can act ourselves into a new way of feeling much quicker than we could feel ourselves into a new way of acting. Mm-hmm. Worship is an act that develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God that is expressed in an act of worship. When we obey the command to praise God and worship, our deep, essential need to be in a relationship with God is nurtured. And so with worship to me is an act of obedience. It's something that I believe all of us have experienced a heaviness, or we've gone through something personally to where many times we don't want to sing to an audience. And the lyrics that we sing are based in the Bible. They're of spirit and of truth. And so worship is a weapon. And when we do this act of obedience every time, even when we don't feel like it, it's a powerful breakthrough that happens, I believe, that we experience.
And I like the fact that you said emotional sensation, right? Mm-hmm. The quote said emotional sensation, because as musicians, we typically, or anybody that's of that creative, you know, that creative side of their brain works the most, we tend to, the emotional side tends to flow freer, where there are those people who find the act of worship that is projected is supposed to be an emotional filled, harder, more uncomfortable, something that they hate singing because it is, you know, the idea is that it needs to be this emotional thing. So for the half of the people in there, it's easy because we have that emotional side where it's easy to connect that way. It's easier to make worship seem that way, where the other half doesn't. And so it's good that you say that, to where it doesn't have to be emotional. For me, worship is, and I talk about worship in the singing sense. I know, Tom, you brought up, and it's a great point, that we can worship God, whether that's if you're a builder and you're building something, or if you're a speaker, or if you're a prayer, or if you're just somebody who cares, your act of worship with your body, right? As Romans said, but for me, in the act of singing, because I too love music, come from a musical background, it's my response. It's the best way that I feel the grace of God on my life and how much He loves me. And so my worship comes out of my response for Him. And so I'd like to free a lot of people, because a lot of people, where they don't feel like that connection with God when they worship, it really comes down to, I believe that people have to connect with God on a real level before that emotional response comes, right? You think of it in the relationship with my wife, like, you know, when we first met each other, it wasn't necessarily an emotional response. It was like okay, right. I like you, I dig you. And then all of a sudden it got a little deeper and deeper, and then we got married, and then emotional response, you know what I'm saying?
Jesus says, no, you're right. Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where a lot of people think that where their heart is, their treasure is going to be there. Follow your heart. You hear that all the time. Follow your heart. But you have to lead your heart. And I think that, like, I'm glad that you said it's about commitment, because when you're worshiping, you've committed to relationship with Jesus. You've committed to relationship with God the Father. You've committed to relationship with the Holy Spirit. Like you've done that. And so through that, God is going to show up. And you're going to feel the emotions, but it is a practice, and it is a showing up to that meeting with God. And I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, I'll never forget, there was a college kid, I forget her name, but she came in and she was talking about, you know, worship, like as far as praise is concerned, where she wouldn't feel it, she couldn't connect. And so she decided to make effort. So what she did was she started by going to the front, standing in front, not singing, not raising her hands, not trying to make any kind of effort. She's just gonna go in the front. She read the lyrics on the screen. And then she said after a couple weeks, she started, you know, voicing the lyrics on the screen. And then after a couple more weeks, she started singing it. She felt that urge to sing. And then the progression came to where she continued to just do that. And then that worship finally came. And some people, when they come into church in the corporate setting, I remember coming into VBF and you see all these people raising their hands and you're kind of looking around going like, should I do this? You know, and I hope to free people, because I believe in freeing people and making worship something that isn't like scary or intimidating or uncomfortable. It will cause people to be able to come and worship in that setting in a more genuine way, if that makes sense.
No, totally. I love the fact, you guys, so Tom, you mentioned Romans 12, 1 through 2. That's one of my favorite scriptures of all time. Because when it comes down to it, connecting with God, whether it's through prayer, through worship, or reading the word in an intentional way, like, it changes you.
Yeah.
And I happen to have that verse pulled up because it was one of my talking points, and we're on the same page. No, it's good. I'm like, man, this is awesome. So Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's like presenting your whole self to God and saying, hey, like, here I am, God. What do you want to do with me? That attitude is pretty rare, I think, in a lot of ways. And verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. I think that first part of presenting your body to God and just saying, hey, here I am, actually enables God to change our heart, to change our mind, and to put us in a different mindset. I think about this pandemic, how it's changed people's lives. I've seen some people adapt really well to this, and I've seen other people not adapt very well. They have a hard time with the change, and they have a hard time with the difficulty. And I think about it and I think God wasn't surprised by this. God knew this was around the corner. And in order to prepare us, I think if we were in practice with God on a daily basis, I'm not saying they would be perfect, I'm not saying life would be perfect, but we might be able to handle change a little bit better because we'd be in tune with what God's doing and we'd feel protected. Another scripture that I wanted to share with you guys really quick, and I want to get more of your thoughts, but and I don't know why this popped in my mind when I thought about worship. I was praying, but Job chapter 1. In the book of Job, God basically allows the devil to unleash his fire, you know, do what he wants to do to a guy. And because God believes that this guy can handle it. And so after Job, these certain people came and they showed up and they took his donkeys, his oxen, his sheep, took down all of their servants, and then eventually allowed his kids to be killed. And through all of that, Job ends up losing everything that he owns, right? And then he also loses his family. So he loses all of his possessions, then he loses his actual family. And this is Job's reaction to that. In verse 20 it says, "Then Job arose and he tore his robe and he shaved his head and he fell on the ground and worshiped." Mm-hmm. I think, like, how many of us, when we feel like things are going, it's, you know, life is getting a little difficult, we don't react like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes when life gets difficult, we're like, all right, well, I'm out too. You know, I'm gonna jump this train and I'm gonna do something different. Mm-hmm. But Job, his heart was so committed to God that he says, oh, in the last part of the verse, I forgot to read that. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of God." So he's like, you took that. You took everything from me. You allowed, God doesn't do it. God allows Satan to do it, right? But he allows him to do it, and Job's reaction is, you have everything. Mm-hmm. You've always had everything. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a hard mindset to get into, but that's why we sing songs. That's why we get together. That's why we have online church right now, right? And that's why we're going to get together again in church to be able to worship and present ourselves. I mean, what do you guys think? What do you guys...
I'll go again. I mean, I just... In worship, it's something that... I remember when I first started getting involved, I wanted to be on the main stage. I wanted to, like, you know, I could do it. I can play guitar. It's not that... But it over the years, it had to be like a heart check. And I found myself that through worship... It was a heart check. Like, there would be times where I'd just be sitting, you know, arms crossed like this, just listening. And like you were saying, like, gradually over time, like, okay, maybe I should start saying the words. Maybe I should start thinking about what those words mean. Maybe now's a time to surrender. And so, like, putting yourself in the mindset, because I know that the emotional side of the majority of the people, it's, you don't just jump into that real quickly, and you're not going to because the second song was emotional. But more or less, like, when that first song hits, maybe you're not energetic, like you guys are like, hey guys, church, you know, let's clap, let's do whatever. And maybe people are just like giving you, like, you know, the mean mug, right? But like, for you, whoever you are, wherever you are, like, just read those lyrics and just let those words say something to you, because over that time, your heart can eventually turn to Job's, where he said, I came here with nothing, I'm leaving with nothing. God gives and God takes away. You don't get there because you've never allowed your heart to be opened up in worship. Like, you have to present yourself. If you want to get to a place like Job, you know, that's unreal, because I love my family and I can't imagine if they were all wiped out. You know, I can't imagine that. But how does he get there? I mean, you've heard the story of Job, but he's like making sacrifices every day for his kids. And it's just, it's a place where you've got to allow God to do something with your thoughts, your emotions, your heart, and just check them with him. And that's what I love, I think, the most about worship, because that provides that time. When you guys are singing those songs to everybody, that's what that time is for, not to necessarily sing as loud as you can.
The story of Job is an extreme example of how much somebody can fall in love with God. Yeah. And it's also an extreme example of an eternal mindset. Mm-hmm. So I want this, during this next song right now, I want you guys to really just consider God. Consider the fact that he loves you. Consider the fact that he wants to take care of you. Consider the fact that he will protect you and your family, and he'll allow things to happen, right? but he will be there. And practice letting go. You know, I'm just gonna pray this prayer before the next song. Let's just say this. Father, I pray, Lord, that every single person that's here, that's listening to this, that's worshiping, would be able to practice right now letting go of all their fears and worries. Whatever it is that's on their heart right now that's bothering them, that's keeping them from really fully surrendering to you. God, I pray, Lord, that you give them the ability to acknowledge it and give it to you. God, help us to give those worries and fears to you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would show up in living rooms, in cars, wherever people are. And I pray that you would touch the people right now. Touch all of us, Lord, with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Yes, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see you victory. I'm gonna see you victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, I'm gonna see you victory. I'm gonna see you victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. Well, I'm not backing down from many giants, no. 'Cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. Yes, I'm gonna see you victory. Yes, I'm gonna see you victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, I'm gonna see you victory. Yes, I'm gonna see you victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yeah. Oh. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes. You take what the enemy meant for real, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, I'm gonna see you victory. I'm gonna see you victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, I'm gonna see you victory. I'm gonna see you victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, I'm gonna see you victory. I'm gonna see you victory. For the battle belongs to you. Turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take yes, Lord. You take what the enemy meant. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
For worship, I can only share like what I experience in my time of being away and in my quiet place. And it's something that I believe everyone should experience for themselves or have an opportunity to, because I know a lot of people sometimes are like, what do you do when people don't clap or when they don't respond? And it really doesn't faze me, because that's when we're worshiping, when we're leading, it's an intimate moment between a person and God.
Yeah.
And it's just like what Shane said about a relationship. It's a continue ongoing relationship. And with God, he never forced love upon me. In my quiet time, if I had frustrations to say to him, or if I was too afraid to say what I really was thinking, he was there to comfort me. And with worship, it's like a safety place that I've never experienced physically, but I have only have experienced that with God. And it's something beautiful. And I mean, once someone is able to take that leap of trust, to be able to trust something that they've never experienced, but to do that themselves, I mean, he'll take you places that you've never thought of going before.
Well, there's some that like my key, thank you, appreciate that. My go-to is I just close my eyes whenever I lead worship. And people have suggested things like open your eyes when you're leading. And my whole thing is like, whenever I see people worshiping, whenever I'm in the crowd worshiping, my eyes are closed and my focus is on God. My focus is on Jesus. And my focus is, you know, trying to be as authentic as possible. And I think that as a worship leader, that's our goal, right? Like, we're not supposed to be fake up there. You know, we're not trying to necessarily play a role, but we are, that's a high responsibility to help people get into the presence of God. And so for me, like you said, like it is about that relationship, and I try to get my focus 100% on him, so that the people who are watching, because I've been a watcher, you're sitting there staring at the guy or the girl leading or whoever's playing the electric lead or whatever, and you watch them and you really will mimic what they do. And if I can, at least in my part, be able to just like, hey, this is a time where we're not necessarily jumping around. We don't have to jump around, but we don't have to be crying and we don't have to fit a role. But just right now, like, let's just be with God in that song, whatever the song is, fast or slow. But at the end of the day, it really does come down to just like, it's got to be authentic you, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
And it's so hard to, because you could talk about this forever, because you know, we have thousands of people that are tuning into our services or that come on a Sunday or Wednesday whenever the quarantine is, you know, non-existent, and everybody's coming from different pathways of life. Again, we're talking to people who aren't hopeless romantics or creative, so the emotional side is of lack, or people that are hurting in their places of Job, right? Mm-hmm. I think of like Job's relationship with God is like that old 60-year, 70-year marriage. Like, they have gotten to a place where I'm able to praise you out of angst. I'm able to praise you out of hurt. Whether on the opposite side of that, if it's like a brand new Christian and they lose everything like that, they're going like, well, forget this. This is not for me. Like, I don't expect anybody to come at with genuineness or want to even fake it to go like, I'm going to praise you. God wants genuine worship, so he would rather you get to that place before you fake it. But the main question is, how do I get to a place if I'm not a natural worshiper? Because you look at songs and all these lyrics, it's like as if I wrote a poem to my wife. These lyrics are for God in a way to where it's honoring him and lifting him up. It isn't so that we sound pretty, because some of us don't have pretty voices. You have voiced before that you don't like the sound of your voice.
I don't like to sing.
Right? And you don't like to sing. But it's this idea, if we can get in this mindset, that when we come into the church building, and it's sometimes I believe this is hard for people. We don't go to church for community. Right. We do not. That's not the main focus. We go there. Community is a byproduct of the church. The message is a byproduct of the church. Everything else, but we go there for God.
Yeah.
We go there for God. Like, God, what do you want to speak to me? God, who do you want me to talk to or encourage? During worship, it's like, God, I want to honor you, give you thanks for what you've done, the things that you're going to do. God, I want to praise you in Job's instance for the things that I haven't received and the things maybe that have been taken away, the things that you're trying to teach me. You know what I mean? And I would add, mindset.
I would add to that that You when you start going to church, you go there to connect with God eventually, right? But then that that habit teaches you to do that every day. Mm-hmm. Like, it teaches you to wake up for God. It teaches you to actually live for Him every single day. We're not, you know, obviously we're not perfect.
Absolutely.
We had some discussions on the way up. I was like, oh, the Holy Spirit's gone, you know?
Wait a minute.
I won't say who started that.
We
but
were in that car.
You still felt it though, right? Yeah. But you know, we're not perfect, but at the end of the day,
oh, the Holy Spirit leave the truck ahead.
They saw it happen.
Feel that?
They saw it happen. But at the end of the day, we can always reconnect. Right? Mm-hmm. When you don't feel connected, you can always reconnect. God is just a mindset away.
Mm-hmm.
Just changing your mind, changing your thinking, and just connecting.
And I think with people too, when they come into worship, and for those that don't even know what worship or praise is, and this might be like a totally completely different topic, I mean, when you go into a church building and they're worshiping and you're like, this is like super awkward, it is awkward because I'm not going to lie, I am an introvert at heart and I don't like to connect with people. I remember when I first started worship actually at VBF, the Elliots were so persistent about knowing who this Allie was, AKA Carissa's wife mainly. And they would invite me over and all this stuff, but I was so scared. And I'm not gonna lie, I've been in ministry all my life. And so I have been hurt by the church more than worldly people. I'm just gonna be honest. And not by BVF, but previous. And so I think that kind of goes into some kind of ties of being scared to connect with people of the church. But I believe when we're together and when it's a community singing praises to God, it's like, I know Tom has been through things. I know Shane has been through things. And when we're all singing the same thing because we've experienced pain and situations, but experienced the victory and God overcoming those situations, it becomes much more powerful. Just where the Bible talks about prayer, where two or three are gathered more, you know, it becomes much effective. And I believe that's how praise and worship is too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely going back to, you know, we're in quarantine time, but like you said, you made a great point. Us going to church, it helps us to know how to live by ourselves, to walk by ourselves. I remember all the little Bible studies, your dad said all the time, get in these small groups, get involved in ministry when we first started going to the church. And it wasn't like right away. On Wednesday nights, I had a group of friends that would come over and be like, hey, let's go to sushi and have sake bombs. So I had this thing where it's, do I go to church or do I have sake bombs? So it's like 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road, a year. Like people, if you feel rushed by Christians to get to a certain point, don't. But obviously don't hear what I'm not saying, that there's the opposite extreme side of that, of feeling like where I don't need to go any deeper with God. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I remember, you know, the Bible studies where I had someone come and be like, hey, we're going to lay on our face and pray. And I'm like, we're going to lay on our face and pray? What do you want me to lay on my face? And what does that do? And I remember being so uncomfortable, but it's this idea that, again, it's not about me. Either my whole heart is for God, or it's not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and so there's many different arts of worshiping God, but even in our home, like a lot of people, they go like, well, do I just say a prayer when I wake up? How does that work out? Like, man, it takes teaming up with people that have a strong relationship with God to getting you to that point where you go like, I feel uncomfortable, I feel weird, but I'm gonna allow myself to look ridiculous. Because I do believe that there is a lot of people out there that are 1 inch away from getting crazy like relationship experience with God, and that 1 inch or that one step is, don't be afraid to look a little crazy. Not all the way crazy, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, crazy enough, like when you're crazy in love, like I'm gonna be out here yelling like, Chris, I love you! And I don't care who knows! I don't care!
There's nobody over there.
I know there's nobody over there. But you know what I mean? Like right, that kind of crazy. Not, you know, and I don't want to get too specific and offend a lot of people, but you know what I mean?
So, I agree, Shane. Worship is intimate, right? It's like that movie Elf, where he's like, I'm in love and I don't care who knows, right? It's mm-hmm. like, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading in Isaiah chapter 6, going back to the idea of worship changing us, right? It makes us a new creature. There's this vision that Isaiah has. Talk about crazy, right? Talk about like being that person of just like, I don't care what happens. I'm going to see God. Isaiah was this person. He was like, I didn't care. He was just this prophet who was just connected to God. And they were like kind of weird people, right? And they're kind of doing their own thing. And he has this vision that is so strange that it's so weird that I would have never probably admitted that I had this vision. But not only does he admit it, it ends up in the book, right? Isaiah chapter 6 says, in verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice you called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched his mouth, and he said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. And then in verse 8 it says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then he says, Here I am, send me. Now, what's crazy about this story is this vision. You have kind of like a step-by-step explanation of what happens in worship. You acknowledge God. You start to understand who he is. You start to see God. Maybe not at this detail level, but you start to feel, you start to see him everywhere you look. And what happens is the first reaction is that we start understanding how small we are and how insignificant we are and how much of a sinner we are and how dirty we are and how we don't belong with God, right? And we realize that we start to think that we don't belong in church or we don't belong around these people. Like we're not holy enough. And that's exactly what happens to Isaiah, this prophet. And as soon as he understands that about himself, God sends this angel to cleanse him, to make him clean. And as soon as he is cleansed, God says, who is ready for action? Who's ready to be sent into battle? And he's like, right here, I'm ready to go, because he was cleansed. And so I think that worship has a very practical meaning. I think it has a very practical side to it, that it's not just about singing songs. It's about the change that happens in your heart when you connect with a living God.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, I wanted to ask you this, and then we'll get into the last song here. But you one of your, you're the youth pastor at BBF, mm-hmm. but you're also a worship leader. And one of the things that I know you do is you teach young people how to lead worship.
Yeah.
What is one thing that you have tried to teach them and you see them get and you see them start to understand when you're teaching them to lead worship?
One thing that I've seen kids get released when we've had worship nights, we've done Sunday morning, Wednesday night worships, like worship sets, and when they get to be a part, like every single time, like, you know, we have these worship rehearsals and we're like, you guys, let's try to mentally and spirit filled worship, you know, let's make sure our heads are set. And they're kind of like, okay, yeah, Bible verses and all that stuff. But when they have those moments of where they got to sing a song, play a bass line, piano part, whatever, and people responded, and it was like how that Isaiah chapter starts out by saying, holy, holy is the Lord. Like that moment where all of us come together every time we've had a worship night and it concludes, it's not like, wow, you did so great. It was, did you hear everyone singing? Did you, that was so awesome because we were together in it. And just that moment of where like church becomes real and like at such a young age, they're able to be a part of that. And that I would say is like the number one moment that like they got it. They got why God gave them that gift. They got why it is that that God, you know, maybe that's his purpose for him, or maybe that's, you know, a temporary purpose for him. But when that happens, they kind of like step into God's will for their lives.
So good.
Let's pray this right now, and then we're going to get into the last song here. I'm keeping it short for you guys because it's cold out here. But in all honesty, I want to pray that you all, that we all can experience God on a deeper level, more authentic level. We want the real stuff. We want to be able to connect with God on a real level. And I don't see anything better than a shakeup like this pandemic that's happened in the church to get us to step back and say, okay, why are we doing this in the first place? We're doing it because God, the God who created the heavens and the earth and this beautiful river and this everything around us, has called us by name and called us to be with him. And so let's just pray right now and ask God to show up in your homes one more time. Father, I just pray that each and every person that is listening to this would be connected to you on a very sincere level.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill their homes. Let their homes be the church. Let their cars be the church. Let the place wherever they're at become your church right now. And I pray for unity among the church right now, God, as a whole. I pray, God, that as we worship, that we would begin to pray as well, and we would ask for unity, and we would ask for your Spirit to unify all the churches, Lord. God, the church is in your hands more than it's ever been. And Father, I just pray that each of us individually would be okay with that. We would let go and trust you and know that you're going to make things right. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strange. Light of his glory and grace.
Sing that again.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
us. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
In the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our